Today's daf in Masechet Erevin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Chof Chet, and we are holding past the sugya of the Kol HaKama, Kol HaBatra. We went through yesterday very beautifully the wonderful sugya of how to understand Klal Prado Klal, and how to understand Miut Riboy Miut, and the different ways of understanding Klal Prado Klal. And we move back to thinking about what foods are ra'ui for making an Erev. Now, one of the first things that we saw in the Mishnah was that it seems in general that we're going to compare the aspect of food when it comes to Meiser, that is to say, buying food that is being eaten in Yerushalayim with money of Meiser, where it says, B'chol asher ta'aveh nafshecha. That was the beginning of the whole discussion, the Kol HaPrado Klal. And that the two seem to be interrelated. Now, there are other sugyas that have to do with food. And it's interesting, the Gemara wants to understand what is the difference, really, between food as defined for Meiser, food as defined for Erevin, and food as defined, l'gabe the dinim, of Tumah v'Taira. So that's definitely three issues that very much involve us in trying to conceptualize what we're talking about over here, and that's what we're going to get through. And the other issue was something that was raised in the Mishnah, which besides the question of accessibility of the food, remember that the accessibility is a primary concern. You can't say that because it could have been accessible, therefore it is considered to be accessible now, because it has to be accessible in a way that would be accessible now. The only question we had about that was the machlokas about whether taking a helicopter into the Beis HaKvaras by a kohen prior to Shabbos, this is a big machlokas here, Rashi and Tosfos, and how to understand it helps to be able to helicopter in before Shabbos if that doesn't allow you to get there on Shabbos. But in any event, that was the only place where we actually considered, even if it wasn't Roy at this particular minute. But generally speaking, the food would have to be accessible to you. And in the Mishnah we saw, the food has to be Roy to somebody. It doesn't necessarily have to be Roy to you. So when it was talking about a nazir, that we'd be able to use wine for, it seemed to be saying that as long as a food is a food for someone. But now how far do we take that idea? I mean, there may be a group of people that will eat a certain food that other people consider to be inedible. How about if a food is actually unhealthy? How about if a food is unhealthy for some people who have a particular genetic makeup and healthy for other people? So these are all issues that are not quite clear in the Mishnah that the Gemara also is going to want to determine today. And the way that we're going to get to the determination is by actually examination of various types of foods and seeing whether they are considered to be foods legabe these three issues, Meiser, Erev, and Tumah. One of the interesting corollaries of the need for the food to be an Erev as opposed to food to be Shaykh to Meiser is the fact that the food needs to be edible now when it comes to an Erev, because the Erev is defined by your ability to actually have your Shabbos meal there. So obviously, if you have a food, which Legape Tuma is a food, but you need to cook it, right? And you can't eat it raw. That's definitely a food when it comes to Dinim of Tuma V'Taira. But the Erev requires not only accessibility and not only edibility, but it requires current edibility in order to be used as a meal. So we know that there's going to be different criteria when it comes to an Erev than there is for Tuma and for Meiser. We just need to zero in on it and understand them. So let's take some of the examples that the Gemara talks about today. So when Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmei Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei Rab. See, he talks about fa'afu'in, chalag lugot, gudgadaniyot. Now, I can't say that I particularly know what these things are. I know they generally translate. I don't know. The first one, I have no idea what that is. The second one, they generally translate as purslane and then coriander. I don't really know what these things are, but I know that always the laws of Rashi or something. Somebody always says that, so fine. Avaloba chaziz, veloba kafniot. Now, we know what chaziz are. Chaziz is where you cut down the grain that you're growing at a stage where it's only one-third grown, and it's roy usually for animal feed. It's not something that people will eat. And kafniot are dates that are never going to mature. We'll see why. They might be dates that were taken from a male tree. The male palm doesn't have mature dates ever. And they might have been early picked, in which case they're not going to mature. So we'll talk about that in the Gemara. But these things are not normally considered to be food. So now the question is over here. This raises the issue of food that is good for some, but not edible for others. So these good gadoniot, it's assumed they're corianders, but again, I'm not really sure. But these good gadoniot, the problem is that they result in a severely reduced sperm count. And because of that, the Baraisa says, if you do not have kids, you better not eat this stuff. If you got lots of kids and you don't care about your sperm count, go right ahead and eat them. However, if they're so hardened that they're already usable as seeds, nobody should eat them because then they're actually dangerous for your overall health. So now, how in the world would we be using these good gadoniot? So now this is what raises this question. It's possible that Rav is allowing good gadoniot only in a case where they are soft, they weren't ukshalazera, and for people who have lots of kids and don't care. That's one possibility. Another possibility. Now, note that that's saying it would only be a kosher Erev for those people who can eat it, which is strange because the Mishnah said, if something is considered to be a food, then it's a food for everyone, right? Legabe the Nazir and the Yayin. And yet the Gemara is saying over here, for some reason, this is different. Now, we can imagine why it's different, because certainly there is a difference about whether something is a food for that person in terms of biology or whether the food is roi for that person in terms of his status halachically. So, I mean, if you're going to tell me that there are people that biologically need to avoid this stuff, then maybe we don't consider that something to be an overall human food since you need already to start being careful. Or maybe I can tell you that, no, that actually once it's roi for merube bonim, so it's good for anybody. And maybe it is the same as the nazir, because that's what we said by a nazir. You can use yayin. Even though it's not suitable for him, it seems to be okay. So over here, even though it's not suitable for person A without or someone who needs his sperm count up, it's still suitable for people who have lots of kids and don't care. Or maybe there's even a different simple explanation. Maybe we're not talking about the same stuff. Because there is a type of undukaki, which is the same word for coriander, that comes from madai, and that is healthy, and that's not a problem. So over there, it's okay. Anyway, the next issue is, if a food is generally rejected and is considered to be a food in a particular area. Now, what's the din about that? Is it really true that you can't make an Erev with chaziz? Rav, who said that, was quoted by Rav Yehuda saying exactly the opposite. That kashut, which is hops, remember, they translate it as hops. I have a real problem with it because it clearly, it's got to be something that you use to make beer because that's what the Gemara always talks about is what you make the beer out of. And yet in the Gemara, it is some type of parasitic or fungal growth that grows on another tree, whereas the hops that we know are not like that. So I don't want to even translate it that way. But in any way, it kashut, whatever it is, when it grows on the branches of other bushes. It doesn't go directly from the ground. And chaziz, you can make an Erev, Rav says, and when you eat them, you make a bari pri ha'adama, which is the fourth sugya that we didn't mention earlier, which is also a question, how to consider something to be a foodstuff. So what kind of bracha would you make on it? Rav says you even make a bari pri ha'adama over here. So make up your mind. Why did Rav say you can't use chaziz? Well, it's not a problem. Because Rav, before he went to Bavel, he never saw any normal human being eating chaziz. It was just plain old-fashioned animal food. Now, when Rav moved to Bavel later on, and we often find that there were different psakim at that time, after Rav came to Bavel, he saw people in Bavel generally will munch on chaziz, so he said that it's okay. Well, I understand. Bavel, I mean, just because people eat it in Bavel shouldn't change the status of a food, should it? I mean, don't we know that idiosyncratic use of foods does not determine their din of a food? I mean, if you're in a space station like Moshe Handel, I understand that things can get really tight, and maybe you would want to eat the kind of things that no one else was eating. I mean, heck, you know what they drink up there. But anyway, over here, the question of Bavel defining what the whole world is, Vatanya hapol vasora vatiltan. I mean, you got things that you planted for the leaves, to use it as a veggie. So, okay, so you've got beans or barley or fenugreek. There, people don't usually do that. It's butla daita etzo kol adam. Those things are normally eaten for the seeds and not for the green parts. And because of that, we're mevatel his das. And because of that, lefichach zar on chayav v'yirakon patur. So even though you wanted it the other way, the halach is when it comes to meiser, the seeds are chayav v'meiser, but the greens are not chayav v'meiser, even though your intent was. The shachlayim, the gargir, that were planted for veggies, over there, yes, because shachlayim, again, these are generally translated. And I can't say that I really know. I mean, rocket, I know what rocket is, but I know that we don't use gargir for rocket, but they translate it as rocket. Shachlayim is cress, and those things are actually chayav v'meiser both for the seeds and the yerek itself, and vice versa. You planted it for yerek, for seeds also, both are chayav. Anyway, but you see from here that idiosyncratic use of a food is irrelevant. So why isn't Bavel idiosyncratic? Now, Tosis points out the obvious problem with this question. What do you mean? I mean, idiosyncratic by definition means some individual, not a whole country, right? Didn't we say before when we were talking about the way in which people would carry things? So we said Saudi Arabia is different because they have a lot of camels, you know, so they carry things. And that's what we said. And over there we said, the Gemara asked the same question, and we answered that there's a big difference between a country and an individual when we're talking about the pomegranate wine, remember? So Tosis says, so why isn't that the same thing over here? And Tosis explains the same yesod that he said there, which we spoke about. And that is that where do we say that the Medina is different? Where the circumstances are different. So in other words, what Tosis points out is that if the rest of the world was a camel-based economy like Arabia was, so then they would be doing the same thing that they would be doing in Arabia. But over here, everybody has chaziz. You don't find anybody eating it except if you live in Bavel. So obviously, it's the same as eating Fruity Pebbles for breakfast. Only an American would eat something like that. It certainly isn't food. So because of that, we consider it to be idiosyncratic. Sorry for the paid political statements here. Okay. So answers the Gemara, so we still have our problem. So what the difference does it make if Bavel eats it? So the Gemara says, okay, Rav says you can eat it for a Erev. He was not talking about standard chaziz. He was talking about the kind of stuff that people grow in the garden for specific purposes of eating, and that's a variety that indeed is edible, and people do eat all around. Okay, but you mentioned, by the way, that the seeds of the gargir, which is the rocket that we use for a salad, what good is the seeds? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, because before the global economy developed, and we used to not have access to pepper because it was imported and now it's imported, so before people had access to pepper, they would actually use these kind of seeds, grind them up, and they would dip the meat into them, and it had this peppery kind of taste, and that was therefore at that time was considered to be a very valid usage. Now, Rabbi Zera, when he got tired from learning, and he needed to take a rest, he couldn't take it anymore, so instead of just sitting around and watching a movie, he decided that he would do something that at least would produce some good Yira Shamayim, so he went and he would sit by the doorway to the yeshiva of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ami, and he said, listen, you know, big Talmidei Chachamim come in and out, I'll be able to stand up for them, so at least I'll be mekabel the schar, because it says, V'yareisam Elohecha, so at least I'm using my time. So anyway, as he was sitting there, one of the kids came out from the Beis HaMedrash. So, okay, I mean, he wasn't going to stand up for the kid, but he asked the kid, what'd you learn today? So he said, they taught me that you make a bracha bori pri adama on the kashus, and on the chaziz, you say shakol nia bidvaro. So here again, we're opening up this fourth category of ligabe, what is something considered to be a food, in what sense. So Rabbi Zera said to him, boy, that doesn't make any sense to me. It ought to be just the opposite. I mean, kashut are a parasitic kind of thing, and they basically grow from the air. They don't grow directly from the ground. So you should make the shahakol on that, but at the chaziz grows from the ground, and therefore, if you're going to consider it a food, why isn't it a food in terms of tracing where it grows from? So why don't you say borei pri adama? I find this psak very confusing. The halacha, however, is like the kid, not like Rabbi Zera. And why is that? Because you need to have a gemar pri. So a kashut is a gemar pri, We'll talk about in a minute what about the parasitic element of it. But a kashrut is a gemar pri, whereas something that isn't completed and it's chaziz, you will not give it the chashivas. Remember that by bracha, we have a different concept. We have the concept of the chashivut of a thing. So until it fully expresses, because that's what bracha is about, so you want to be able to fully express the power of the earth, right? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mevorach, should get this bracha of the keach of the earth, should expand into the world in this way. You don't use a product that doesn't really show off that keach to make a bracha on. So, I mean, certainly it is a general product of life in general. So you say a shahakol on it, but you're not going to make that special bracha, which is a higher level bracha because it's more specific on the Bari Priya Adama. And therefore, since it's not a Gemar Pri, by the way, we actually bring this lahalacha. This is the only source for this new concept. It's brought lahalacha, legabe in general, even legabe the Paris of an Elon, that something that is not really mature doesn't merit to have that special bracha, and you would make a shahakol. Not all the poskim agree to it, but definitely this Gemara gives pause in those kind of circumstances. And as far as your taina, Rebbe Zera, that it does not grow from the ground, the hops, and so on, that is not really true. It's an assumption that you're making because it looks that way. However, we've done experiments in which if you cut down the tree that the hops grow on, they always die right along with the tree. In other words, they are being nourished directly. They may be parasitic, but they're parasitic by actually cutting into the tree's root system. And because of that, they're growing from the ground. It's not that they're just hanging on to the tree. So therefore, they're also, you can do this yourself, cut down the roots of the tree that they're growing on, which is this bush, and it right away it dies. Okay. And the other issue that we said was that according to Rav, if something does not mature, then it's a type of date that doesn't mature, you can't use it. The problem is that the Braita says, and here we get another fascinating kind of contrast in the dinim of Ochlin, that when it comes to kor is what they call today heart of the palm. You know, you could buy them in cans and so on, but when they're fresh, they're really good. So that is basically the wood of the palm. It's the new soft growth of the palm, which is going to be growing into a branch of the palm. Obviously, nobody would want to grow a palm to take off the korah because then it's going to die. You won't have any future growth. But if you take off one, you're allowed to buy that with kesef meiser, but it's not considered to be a food because in terms of tumah, because since ultimately its main purpose of the tree is in terms of the wood, so it has a din of eitz, and eitz is not going to be a mekabel tuma unless it's a kli that has a base kibble, and that's not the case over here. Rabbi Yehuda says it's actually eitz for everything. The only difference is you can buy it with meiser money. So the Gemara is going to ask, what did the Tanakhama say that was different from Rabbi Yehuda? Okay, but now we finally have an issue in which we're talking about meiser and tuma. And some third thing, obviously, because Rav Yehuda is introducing something new, even though it doesn't say what it is. Now, that third thing might be Erev. That third thing might be Brachas. I mean, because we've seen that we've got all these issues that are interrelated somehow. So we have to wait till the Gemara analyzes Rav Yehuda. So it is considered to be wood, not Mekabel Tuma. And the idea over there is that it's different than other non-foods because it can be bought with kesef meiser. Kafniot, we'll see why. Kafniot are considered to be a pri. L'chol divrayim. The only thing is that they're potter from meiser, which is fascinating. There's some kind of strange interrelationship in which sometimes something is more of a food vis-a-vis meiser, and sometimes it's less. So what exactly would be the difference? Now, what is amazing is if you take a look at the psukim, you see clearly that there are different categories, and that might explain it. Because in order for something to be kesef meiser purchased, it doesn't need to be called a food. It just needs to be edible. And there's a big difference between those, as we're going to see. So this is the first shoresh of the differences that we've been talking about. And the reason is that over there it says, b'chol asher taveh nafshecha v'achalta. It doesn't say mikol ha'ochel. So all it needs to do, it needs to fit the criteria of being pre-mi-pri and so on and so forth. But it does not necessarily have to be called a food. It does not necessarily have to be grown as a food. If it fits those criteria and it's viachalta, it is edible, so then that's enough. But when it comes to tuma, it's not enough, because by tuma, the pasuk is mikol ha'ochel asher ye'achel. Now, you would normally have thought that that's just, completely redundant. Well, obviously, ochel asher ye'achel, wrong. There can be things that are not ochel asher ye'achel. The thing that makes it an ochel asher ye'achel is that it's generally regarded as food, and that's what it would be grown for. You would never plant a palm in order to grow korah from it, because that is going to destroy the palm. Okay, so there is a tremendous difference between the two. But if the Braita over here considers even these kafniot to be mekabel tuma, so then that means they're dafka called ochel asher ye'achel. And if they're ochel asher ye'achel, why can't I use them for an eruv? Says the Gemara, there's a big difference. Because where we're talking about in the Braita, that's talking about nischani. Nischani are male palms. Male palms do not produce ever edible fruit. But mature fruits. So because of that, this is what you're going to be getting out of this tree. And that's it. You're not going to be getting anything else. So that's the food. And that, therefore, could be used for an Erev. Masha Inkin, when Rav was talking about normal female palms, and those, why in the world would you pick an immature date from a female palm, which is going to be growing into this delicious full-fledged date? And therefore, this is not considered to be a normal food. Says the Gemara, that's not possible. Because how could Reb Yehuda say that you're potter from miser on it? Now, note that there's a tremendous difference between the concept of miser in terms of whether you're chayev miser or whether this is something that you could buy with the money of miser. And those two things are not necessarily the same, as we already saw in terms of the dinim of havlah. So here we're talking about, is it considered to be miser? If Reb Yehuda says they're putter from miser, then he's contradicting himself if we're talking about something that's never going to be a mature fruit, because Atanya Om Reb Yehuda, lo huskara, page beit yoni, ela le'inyan ma'aser bilvad. And that was benogea, the following halacha, that page beit yoni, and those are, again, page, remember, means premature. As it does in modern Hebrew, we call a premature infant a pag. I've pointed out to you that comes all the way from Gan Eden, where the figs in Gan Eden, which were one of the elements of the Eitz Hadas, were roi for Adam, as it says, except he ate it prematurely. Sha'och lapaga, from which comes the word fig, which is fag in Yiddish, in English, and in Yiddish is the reason that when you want to be mevatel, the meaning of something, you say a fag avdir, in which you're throwing a premature fig at the guy because what he's saying makes no sense and he might as well be eating the Eitz Hadas. Anyway, but getting back to the Gemara. If it says over here, this was Nogea, this is the aside, but it was Nogea the question of Biur. So the Chachomim held that the halacha of Biur, remember, the halacha of Biur is, as long as the food is available in the wild, you don't have to be mevayer from your home, right? So the question is, if that same type of food is available in the wild, except that it's available in a way that is not really edible because it's not mature yet. So the Chachomim over there said that if you have these types of immature figs on the tree, you don't have to get rid of the real figs from your house. And Reb Yehuda said, no, that's not true. The only din that we mention, these immature figs, is binogea, the chiyav of meiser, but not binogea biur for shemitah. So anyway, but that means that what he's saying over here in the Braita is that it's potter from meiser. He's got to be talking about the kind of dates that could have become mature, not like we said before, that they're male, from male trees that will never mature, and because of that, they're putter from miser. Fine. So there's a tremendous difference between the two, because otherwise he's going to be contradicting himself. All right, so there's got to be a different solution. How do we explain Rav? So fine, the Braisa is not talking about what we said. They're not talking about male trees, and there's needs to understand the difference between Erevin and the din of Tumas Eichlin. It's very simple. Minogea Tuma, you can make something a food ultimately. That gives it a din of a food now. So you see, I can make it a food because I can sit and cook it, or I can stew it, and maybe after a lot of stewing, it'll be a food. That's fine. And Rabbi Yochanan actually says that, that hover o'i l'matkana yedea ur, we're going to see what that's referring to. Hachanami hover o'i l'matkana yedea ur. So since I can take these dates, which I wouldn't eat just tam, but I can put them into a stew, and they certainly will make your cholent taste better. We'll try Moshe Forman, may try this next week instead of pumpkin. So they're roi to matkana yedea ur, but for an Erev, and here's this important yesod, an Erev needs to be edible now, not it's going to be edible. And because of that, you cannot use it in your Erev. What did Rabbi Yochanan refer to when he said, that was the bright that we had in Chulun, remember? There's two different types of almonds. There's bitter almonds, they're two different species, bitter almonds and sweet almonds. And the difference between them, lahalacha, is that the bitter variety, when they're not fully grown, then they're chayev and meiser. Because then you can eat them, they're not so bitter. But once they're grown, then they're potter because they're no longer a food. But the sweet almond is the opposite. If they're completely ripened, so then that's when they become a food, and that's when you're chayev and meiser. But otherwise, they're not considered to be food yet for meiser. Reb Shimon Reb Yossi says, Mishum Avi. So he quotes, it could be Rabbi Shmuel, according to the Yeshino Girsos, that Zevzeh Liftor, it's a machlokas Rashi, it tells us how to learn Zevzeh Liftor. But anyway, over here we'll just follow the simple pshat of Rashi. Both types of the Shkedim Hamorim are potter, because the large ones are potter because they're too bitter to eat. The small ones are potter because they're not grown completely. Whereas others say that, no, both sizes are actually chayev. So Rabbi Loa said that the halacha is, as far as I know, according to Rabbi Hanina and Sipori, is that both of them are potter, which makes more sense. What, in fact, is the logic? We asked there, according to Gemara Yomar, says they're both chayev. I mean, they're not edible. Said Rabbi Yochanan, and that's where he said it, that since if you boil up these bitter almonds a lot, that they become edible, that gives them a din of a food. So Memela, we want it to be mechalik between that criteria of a food versus Eruv, where that doesn't help, because for an Eruv, it has to be roi now. So we're gradually honing our different criterion. So when we have this difference, the immediate suitability, we have the question of the chashivas, vis-a-vis bracha, and we have the question of ultimately making something roi, and the difference between being called an ochel in terms of tumah, or being edible, the achalta, in terms of meiser. Beautiful. It's really so wonderful to see all of these things being stacked up against each other and finally getting it straight. Anyway, we said before that when we were talking about the Korah, so it said, Omar Ma, Rabbi Yehuda says, Korah is ke'etz l'chol dvarav. The only difference is it's nikach b'kesem meiser. And over there we said that seems completely repetitious. That's what the Tanakhama said. Says the Gemara, the difference would be, according to Abaye, is if you really cook it up, and you cook it for a long time, then that would be the difference. So the Tanakhama did not say that it's always going to be wood. He holds, you cook them, so then it becomes shayach to tumah. Now this requires a lot of cooking. It's not something you could just change. It's like, so you'd have to actually be sholeik. Because of that, it's not necessarily the same idea of Rabbi Yochanan. It's not that you could, it's that you did. And Rav Yehuda apparently holds, no amount of cooking is going to turn it into food. It's always going to be tahar. Says Rav, that makes no sense at all. Nobody holds that you can't turn anything, even the toughest thing. If you turn it into food, the bottom line is that it is food. Because it's a fairish abraita that says you take the hide of an animal. Now, to turn the hide into edible food, I mean, you got to cook it for 3 days, you know. And even that, it says that, or a shilya, which is maybe soft and edible, but it's disgusting. So that's the placenta or the amniotic sac, actually more directly. Ein metamim tumas eichlin, but If you cooked it for a long time, or the shoya you had in mind that you want to eat it, then it can be metame tumas oakland. So a kosher cane core, I mean, for heaven's sakes, you could buy this core in a can in the supermarket. You got to tell me that if it's cooked, it's not going to become, the hide can become food, but the core can't. That doesn't make any sense. All right, so what is the difference now between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda? At last, we get to an open acknowledgement of the fourth issue, bracha. What bracha do you make over it? So Elo Marava Ikebinayo bracha. That's the difference. Because we know we had this question back in brachas, the Itma. Kor, Rav Yehuda, not to be confused with the Rav Yehuda we're talking about. This is Rav Yehuda. This is Rav Yehuda who is the Baal Machlokas with Shmuel, an Amora. So we're coming to explain Rabbi Yehuda that we were talking about over here in the Tanakam, the Machlok, Tanakam, Rabbi Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda says, you say a Borei Pri Ha'adama on it, where Shmuel says it's a Shakol Nia Bidvaro. Rav Yehuda said it's a Borei Pri Ha'adama because it's real food, and therefore it's roy to make a bracha that grows on the ground. Where Shmuel says, no, you say Shakol Nia Bidvaro because in the end this is not essentially food. It's going to be hard like wood, and therefore you can't make a Borei Pri Ha'adama on it because it's not really an exemplar of something that would be growing from the ground. Note, of course, that even though it's a tree, it's certainly not the pre of the tree. So we're certainly not going to make a Borei Pri Ha'etz on the tree part, the cellulose, that is growing like a vegetable from the ground. Okay, so then if that's the case, so the Tanakam over here agrees with Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda agrees with the opposite of Rav Yehuda, which is Shmuel. And he holds that you make a shahakol, that would be the difference. And once we already raised this issue in Brochus, so let's finish it up, because over there Shmuel says to Rav Yehuda, you know what, Sharpie, kavazir mistavra, what you're saying makes more sense, because look, radish also gets really hard if you let it continue to grow. It becomes wood-like, and anyway, people say a Borei Pri Ha'adama, which the Gemara says is ridiculous. That doesn't prove anything, because over there, radish is what people planted it to eat. I mean, nobody plants a palm tree in order to eat the kor, so it's an ancillary product. There's a big difference between the primary product and the ancillary product. And therefore, even though Shmuel himself said that Rav Yehuda makes more sense, we don't paskin that way. We paskin actually like Shmuel, and we make a shahakol. So now let's move on. We've defined the type of food. How much food do we need? Now, the general rule is that the shear that the Chachamim gave for food is not the amount that you actually eat for a full meal. It's the amount that you eat in the course of a full meal, meaning that we're going to pretend that you have bread with you. And now the question is, together with that, what would you eat of this? So it's not that the whole meal is going to be made out of this. And that changes things tremendously, because then each food is going to have a completely different shear according to what the standard would be in the course of a normal meal. What would you eat during the course of that meal? This is sometimes nogea, the dinim of brachas as well, but we'll talk about that. We talked about it in brachas. We'll talk about it bezrat Hashem a different time. So anyway, getting back to what we said before in Omer Aleph, the Omer of Yudah, Omer Rav, Kashut and Chaziz, you can be Ma'arvin, we paskin, you can be Vorech Aleim, Borei Pri Ha'adama. What would be the amount of kashut that a person would eat? Well, very little. Kedom Rav Yechiel, how much hops would a person eat in a meal? A handful. So then that would be enough for your Erev. And we'll see what Rabbi Yechiel was referring to, but we paskin the same way Lagabi the Erev. And what about Chaziz? That was the garden variety, remember? Amar Rav Abar Tevi, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav. That would be a bundle. Kimloz Lita Di Kari, the way that the farmers make bundles. Normally, they bundle Chaziz. It's usually bundled for animals, but in the garden, they have a garden bundle. Amar Rav Chilkia Bar Tuvia, you can use kalia, which I have no idea what it is, but it's a hard stalk. So kalia, how could you have kalia? I mean, that's so hard, it's totally inedible. We didn't mean kalia, we mean the leaves that grow on the kalia, the yarka de kalia. And how much? That's where Rabbi Yechiel said, a handful. Rabbi Yirmiyahu went out to the villages he had like fields there. We find, and there's lots of stories when he goes out that they ask him questions and he never knows the answers. It's sort of embarrassing oftentimes. But anyway, so he went out and they asked him, can you use pollen that are not hardened yet? So obviously, normally to use like beans, we understand you can't because they're too hard to even chew. And even though they're food, they're not food that's good for an Erev. So would you be able to use if they're still moist and you can chew them or not? He didn't know. So when he came to Beis HaMedrash, he asked them, like, what's the din? And Omer, like, Rabbi Yanai said, is ma'aravim bepolim lachim? You can. And this is Rabbi Yechiel. How much? Amalo hayat. Omer of Amnuna, you can actually use raw beets. Raw beets. Says Rav Chista, man, a raw beet can kill a raw man. I mean, this guy is like really a redneck, you know, but so what? If he eats beets, it'll kill him. By the way, that's true. You know, you have to be very careful about how much beet, you know, it's only a certain amount of beet you're able to eat because of liver damage. Anyway, so raw beets will kill a raw man. So how in the world would we be able to use it? Didn't we say that food that is not healthy, we're not going to use for an Erev. That's talking about Bashil, the low Bashil. The ones that he was talking about, Rav Chista, didn't mean raw. He meant raw, like the Korban Pesach is raw. I mean, it's partially cooked. You're talking about killing people. That's talking about literally. That's there's a completely different thing over there, Rav Chista. Rav Chista and raw, I mean, sorry, Rav Chista is talking about the kind that isn't totally raw. And what we were talking about was the totally raw.